Good morning. Well, at least three of you are listening. Good to see everybody this morning. We have our missionaries with us, George and Nancy Miller from the Solomon Islands, and that's really exciting. We've never had missionaries from the Solomon Islands. In 40 years of ministry, I don't think I've ever had a missionary from the Solomon Islands. And you usually get the people from that go to Africa and stuff, you know. So it's kind of different, kind of nice to have somebody from someplace different. But anyway, we're glad to have them. And, of course, if you were here for Sunday school, you've already heard a little bit about a little bit from George and Nancy, and they're going to be back with us this morning. But we do want to welcome all of those that are here. I know we've got a lot of visitors, and I know that many of you visitors might be here for them. And if that's the case, that's fine and dandy, but come back next week anyway. So we're glad, and I hope that you talked to your pastor about the fact that you were leaving, that you wouldn't be in your church this morning. See, you guys get groupies, and it's not always good, tell you that. Anyway, we're glad that you're here this morning. We do want to welcome you, and we know that you're going to enjoy the service this morning. Got a couple of things that we want to share with you before we get our service started. Two weeks from yesterday, when did we say it was, Sandy, the 25th? Well, we realized the 27th is on a Monday, so... On Saturday the 25th, we're going to have a work day, spring cleaning, and so plan on putting that on your calendar. Oh, we can't do it that day. That's not going to work. We will let you know. We're going to have to revamp. That's the day of conventions, and there will be a bunch of us down there, and so we're going to have to let you know. We're going to have to look at the calendar all over again, so... One of these days, very soon, we're going to have a work day. And when we do, we really want you all to come and be a part of that. So we're not going to tell you any more about that right now. Men, a couple of things for you men. First of all, Brother C.D. Blake would like to meet with all of the men in the sunroom after church this morning. So men, kind of mark that and stop in there. He's not going to meet with you very long, but just for a few minutes. And then next Saturday at 10 o'clock is the men's prayer breakfast that I think Kurt might be cooking. Where is Kurt? There he is. You cooking that? Okay. He doesn't know that for sure. He's just saying. But but at 10 o'clock next Saturday morning, men, come. And it's part of the Family Life Center Ministries. And so I want you to come and be a part of that. It's going to be kind of an organizational meeting. And CD will tell us all about it then. So put that on your schedule for next morning, next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. It's also in your, that thing, the bulletin. And Tom's going to do a devotional. That's what got my attention. I just saw your name down there. So if you don't have one of these, pick one up because it's got a lot of good stuff in it, okay? Also, don't forget that the district conventions are on the 25th. That's the 27th. It is the 20th. I don't know what calendar you're looking at, Sandy. Oh, we're going to do work day for May. Oh, yeah. All right, we're going to work you guys before that. Yeah, so anyway, we'll look at it. But anyway, the 27th is the conventions. If you are a delegate, please be sure that you see the department head, Paula for Sunday school, Char for missionary, and Bill for NYI. If you're a delegate to that, please make sure that you see them. They'll get your check for you. If you're a delegate and can't make it, please see them so that they can get your alternate scheduled. And that goes, I think, from 8 to noon or 9 to noon. They've got here 1 to 4:30. I don't think it lasts that long. Is that what they've got scheduled? It's from 1 to 4. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 to 4 in the afternoon this year. So if you... You know, if you went last year, they combined that whole thing and did the prom deal. And when we all got there, we couldn't get a table. We all end up sitting back in the corner, you know. So might want to try to get there early this year. So anyway, that's from 1 to 4:30 on the 27th. So you get to sleep in and have a nice breakfast, then head that way. And then, of course, district assembly is coming up May 8, 9. Hope and trust that you're praying for that. And this week, of course, regular service on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, regular activities on Wednesday night, and so everything is right there. The next big thing for us, other than all this stuff that's happening, is Mother's Day, and that's just a few weeks away. about 3 weeks away, or maybe four. And, you know, right now, even now, we're going to have a great day that day, a lot of fun, a lot of big stuff happening, because it's always big around here. So bring your families, and moms, bring your families, and families, bring your moms. So let's fill a pew that day, and let's have a great, great day, and just fill the church. All right, I think, is that it? Anything else? Ask for crisis care kits? Okay. Back in the sunroom, there are some, you know, the list back there for the crisis care kits. We've only actually filled one box this time. We haven't put a lot of emphasis on it. So stop in there and get a list, a little sheet of the things that we need for crisis care kits. Pick one of those up, and, you know, you can go to Dollar General, pick all that stuff up for a buck a piece, most of it, and bring it in here so we can get some more boxes filled up. Usually we like to, and we take those to assembly when we go. We take them to assembly or convention. Convention. So we've only got, you know, a couple weeks to fill those up. So let's, would you stop in there and take one of those and get that stuff and fill it up? And donations for children's sale, which is in May 23rd, and 4th, 2nd, 3rd, 23rd, 24th, 25th. So if you've got stuff at home, clean out your garages, clean up your basements and attics, and bring it in and give it to Paula. She's filling up her office. It looks like a trash bin in there, but she's filling it up there, and she's going to sell all that stuff and make lots and lots of money. So make sure you get that stuff to her. And if you can help her out that day, that would be great too, or those days. All right. Anything else? Well, then let's have, as Rhonda and I like to say, let's have church. Okay. Let's stand together this morning, and let's have the praise team come, and let's go into church this morning.
All right, the first song we're going to sing is one you heard just a few minutes ago if you're here. You're Holy. That's one where I do a line and then they follow. And you can follow me or you can follow them. But just sing. It's worship the Lord. You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will follow.
I will listen.
I will listen. I will love you
all of my days.
All of my days.
You
I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy. I will love and adore him. I will bow down before him. I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy. I will love and adore him. I will bow down before him. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you. You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will follow.
I will listen.
I will listen.
I will love you.
I will love you. I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy. I will bow and adore him. I will bow. peace, and I will live my life for you. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you.
Say amen.
Amen.
Good good to see you all this morning. You may be seated for just a minute. Got a few things that I want to share with you before we continue in our worship today. Mary Geiger called just before church. They were getting ready to come, and she had to take Jim back to the emergency room at the VA. So that's all I know right now. They were supposed to call us if they hear anything. So just keep them in prayer because we don't, at this point, we don't know. She took him back to the ER in, I think it was Monday or Tuesday or something like that. And they said that what was going on was just part of what had happened at Pittsburgh here a couple weeks ago for his checkup. But he's just been sick ongoing. So keep them in prayer this morning. They're going to try to get a hold of us if there's any news. So if there's any news, we'll make sure that you hear about it as well. We also want to keep Sister Hillary in prayer. She's at home trying to get better. She's had a hard week. And Rosie was here. I don't know if she's still here. She was going to sit in the back because she wasn't sure if she could or not. But John says she's still here for right now. So that's good. So we'll see what happens. She's going to try to stay as long as she can. So keep her in prayer as well. She doesn't have another appointment until a week from Tuesday. Hopefully something will get done then. So. We also want to make sure that if you're a first-time visitor today, that you get a special gift. We have a special gift for you back there. Paula will be taking care of it. Paula will take care of it. Did you get that? You already did that. So if you're a first-time visitor and you didn't get that gift, see that gal in the purple thing right there. And she'll make sure you get that. So, that purple thing right there. So, but we have a special gift for you, and we're so glad that you're here. But George and Nancy, we have a special one for you. So I'd like for you to come. I don't have a microphone, but they can hear me anyway. These are our love kits. And the only thing that we ask of you, George, me. she's back there somewhere. You'll get it to her. The only thing we ask, and whenever you drink out of that, you got to pray for it. All right. I knew he wasn't listening to me. I knew he had to find somewhere else. It's so good to have these folks with us today. But anyway, we're glad to share those gifts with you, and we just want you to think about us often and come back and be a part of us. We'd love to have you as part of our family. If you have visited here, I know there's a lot of visitors this morning. If you have visited here and didn't get one of those mugs, please see Paula. She'll be happy to get you one. Sometimes we do, they get missed. So if you haven't gotten that, please see her. All right, well, let's get ready to go back to worship this morning. So let's do stand up. Let's shake hands with some folks. Make sure you find somebody you don't know and shake your hand and get to know them. And then Daryl's going to come and take us back into worship this morning. Thank you.
seated. You may be seated. Boy, sorry to hear about Jim again.
Yes.
And it's good to see Rosie. I saw her a while ago. We have a lot to pray for. I heard something this morning that I liked, if I can remember how it, just how it went. But this gal said, if you only spend about 5 minutes in prayer, the only voice you're going to hear is your own. I thought that was pretty, pretty true. It's been taking me about an hour. When I was younger, I thought, how can I ever pray more than 15 minutes? Well, he really wants to hear us more than that. But trying to get through all my family and all the relatives and the church and our administrations of federal, state, and world, there's still some that we need to continue to pray for. But prayer works miracles. Colossians says, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So take the name of Jesus with you.
Stains washed whiter than snow.
It's a miracle. I wish I could do something like that. But I can remember just long enough to sing it again, and I forget it, everything. I've done that about three times in my life as I lay in bed. And by the time I get up the next morning, I don't even know where to start. If you'd like to come and bring your petitions here at the altar, we'd glad to have you do that. This is a good place to pray.
Together our faith promise, pledges, and prayers for this coming year. We're into a new church year, you know, and we're starting all over again, fresh. We haven't made any mistakes yet. However, this morning, at the end of our service, we're going to be receiving your pledges for missions for World Evangelism Fund, and we're going to be handing you one of these cards. And I've been trying to decide what to do. Greg, are you handy out there where you can get in here? Where are these guys? I need them. Greg, John, somebody. I want you to come and get these, Greg, if you will, and hand these out to everybody. I want you to take one of these. This is your pledge card. And I'm going to ask you to while we're praying this morning to hold on to that card. And I want you to pray and ask the Lord what He might have you do for this year. Our goal for this year is $8,000. Now, what that means is that through the year, you'll pledge whatever you pledge, and Might be 100, might be 500, might be 1,000, might be more than that. There's a way to mark it that you'll see when you get it. We're not going to say a lot about it yet, but we'll tell you about it more at the end of the service. But I want you to hold that card. I want you to be praying as we're praying this morning and asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do for missions this year? How can I be a part of this great goal and this great plan? Our goal is 8,000 for this year, and I believe we can do that. I believe we can make it. If we all rally together and pray and seek the presence of the Holy Spirit and His leading and His will. So I want you to take that today, and as we're praying this morning, I want you to remember that and pray for that and ask the Lord what He would have you to do. I want you to remember those prayer requests we gave you earlier, and I also want you to remember Paula. She's been to the doctor. They can't quite figure out what's going on with her. They thought they had it, and now they're not sure, and so she's still having quite a bit of discomfort at different times, and so keep her in prayer this morning. If you'd like to come around the altar this morning and pray, as Darrell's already invited you to do so, we'd love for you to come and use the altar this morning, praying perhaps for one of those that we've made a prayer request for, or maybe a special need that you have in your own life. But let's just gather around, if you would, and let's have a good season of prayer this morning. And let's go before the Lord today. Father, this morning we do come to you. We thank you. We thank you today for your grace. And we thank you today for your love, your power. We thank you today for your mercy. And we thank you today for the gift of salvation. We thank you today, Lord, for a sanctified heart. We thank you today, Lord God, that we can know your will and walk in that. And we know today, Lord, that you will never ask more of us than we are able to give. And so, Lord, as you ask us, as you share with us your power and your love and your goodness, we just pray, Lord, that you would give us that heart to be obedient to you in whatever it is that you're asking us to do. It may be in ministry, and maybe something you're asking us to do, Lord, that we've been reluctant to do. Maybe something that you're asking us to do that, Lord, we may not feel that we have the gifts to do. But you would never ask us to do it if we didn't have the gifts. You give us the gift of the Holy Spirit to accomplish your will and your way. You may be asking us to do something, Lord, that to us just seems so far out there, so far beyond what we are capable of. You may be asking us to do something this morning, Lord God, that in our own humanness we just think we can't do. But you would never ask us to do something that you won't give us the power to do. And so I pray this morning, Lord, that as you share with our hearts, that we'll be willing to say yes. We'll just say yes. Lord, that doesn't mean that we'll have the know-how. Doesn't mean that we'll be able to figure it all out, but we just say yes, Lord, whatever you want, and you'll work out those other things. We're so thankful to you, Lord, this morning for your blessings, how you bless us today. We have more blessings today than we can count, and not just in material things, but in the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of God with working within us. I'm so thankful today, Lord, for your saving grace. To know that we can be born again, that we can have sins forgiven, that we can walk hand in hand with you, and know that you are our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Forgiver. It's so good to know today, Lord, that you have our sins under the blood. We're so thankful today for the sanctifying grace of God. We're so thankful today, Lord, that we can surrender. We can commit. Lord, we can just give it to you, everything in our lives, who we are, what we are, what we have. And oh, I pray, God, that if we haven't done that, that we will. And just say, Lord, I'm yours no matter what. No matter where you lead me, I'll go. However you want to use me, I'm ready. However you want to speak through me, I'll speak. whatever you want to do, I'll do. Oh, I pray today, God, that people will come with a sanctified heart before you today and allow you to use them wherever you'd like. I pray, Lord God, today for our church. Oh, you have the days ahead for us. You know what it is that we need. You know what it is that you have for us today. And I pray, God, that we'll just be mindful to walk in your presence, to walk in your command, and to walk, Lord, where you want us to walk. And I pray today, Lord God, that you will continue to pour out your Spirit and your blessings upon this church. Oh, God, make it everything you want it to be. Make it a kingdom winner today. God, we know today that there's a lot of prayer needs, and oh, we've talked about them, and we've mentioned the names, and you know all about them today, and we just have to bring them before you. We just bring them before you as a group of prayer names this morning, Lord, and we just ask that you would remember them today. Lord, we think about those that we mentioned, and then Frank Peon gave us a couple of prayer requests that he's praying for, people that are in the hospital, one a relative, one a friend. And we pray for them today. And Lord, and we pray for their all of these physically, but more than that, we pray for them spiritually. That, Lord, they'll seek you with their whole heart, and they'll know you with their whole mind and strength. We thank you today, Lord, for our missionaries, and we praise you and thank you, Lord, for bringing them our way today, for George and Nancy. And pray that you would touch them. And Lord, we pray that you would be with George as he comes to bring us the ministry of the Solomon Islands here in just a little bit. We're going to learn something today. We're going to learn what the power of God is doing. And I pray, God, that that will be something that will encourage our hearts and just lead us to a closer walk with you. When we see what is going on around the world, it helps us to know what we can do here at home. I pray, God, for our faith promise pledges today. I pray, God, that each person is holding that card up, holding that card and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I be a part of this? It is a faith promise. Lord, it's a promise that by faith we'll do what you ask us to do. You may ask somebody to do something, Lord, way out of their comfort zone. You may ask somebody to pledge something that they can't even see the way it can be done. But Lord, it's called faith. We seek your will. We do what you ask us to do. And then by faith, we do what you ask us to do. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to our hearts today. I pray, Lord, for our district superintendent, for Dr. Rowland and Cheryl. Wherever they may be today, I pray that you would touch them. God, we pray that you would just give him your heart and lead him as he leads our district. We know that he's got assembly coming up and his mind is wrapping around that. And we pray for them. That's a lot of work, a lot of things to be mindful of. So we pray for leadership in his heart and life today. We pray, God, today that you would be with our General Assembly coming up. Lord, there's a lot of important stuff to be done in our church that we might move on with the message of salvation and holiness. And I pray, God, that you'd help us with it. And then, God, this morning I do pray for Jim and pray that you would touch him today, especially right now. Lord, you are the healer, and we pray for healing today. We pray for healing for these that are needing that touch right now. We just look at you today, Lord, as the great physician. Pray your will would be done. Pray now, God, that you would just be with us as we continue our service this morning. You know the needs that are out here. And so, Lord, we bring them to you today. There are needs in this congregation that we don't even know anything about. But you know every one of them. We lead them at your throne today. Now be with us today. May you be glorified. May you be uplifted. May you be blessed. And Lord, for it all, we will give you the praise. We will give you the honor. We will give you all the glory. And we will thank you, Jesus, for we ask it in your precious name, giving you all the victory. Amen. 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 You may be seated. We're going to receive God's tithes and your offerings at the end of the service this morning, at the same time that we receive the pledge cards. At the end of the service, we'll be receiving your tithes and offerings and also a deputation offering for the Millers today and for the ministry that they're doing. The deputation offering goes to their ministry, so we want to make sure that we do a great thing for them and that everything works, that we do our part in what they're doing. So keep a hold of this, and throughout the morning, just be praying, and as you're hearing Sandy come to sing and you're hearing George come to speak, just pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? Seek his will. Don't just do what you think you can do. Seek his will and walk by faith. All right, Sandy's going to come and sing for us, and then right after that, we're going to have Brother George Miller come and share with us this morning.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you today.
Amen. Thank you, sister, for that song. Well, I'm here today to say really thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your mission. I'm just a representative. I've got some stories to tell you today, but as I share the stories with you, I want you to look at these people and say, they're our product. And I'm telling their story because they're not here to share the story. If they were here, they would say thank you for your faithfulness to the World Evangelism Fund, to your faith promise. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Well, and Paul wrote to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, he wrote this letter. And he says here, as he was talking to the Corinthians in chapter 8 about the Macedonian churches, and he was trying to encourage the Corinthian church by using the Philippians and other Macedonian churches. He says, out of the most severe trials, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability entirely on their own. They urgently plead with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. And it goes on to talk about the Corinthian church evidently had promised an offering. And they were going to say, we're not going to let them outdo us. So Paul was reminding them. And he says, Titus is on his way. So I know you'll be faithful in doing what you promised and give what you promised. Because Titus is coming. And then Paul goes at the end, toward the end of the chapter, he says in verse 12, he says, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Okay? So we do not judge. We do not judge others and think we're better because we gave more, or they're worse because they gave less. Each one of us is judged according to what he has. And we thank the Lord for that. So I'm going to share some stories with you. Is that all right? I'll just share some stories about some people. Nancy and I went to the mission field in 1989, and we first went to Papua New Guinea. I was a medical lab person, huh? In my first life. I worked in the hospital laboratory, x-ray, did EKGs, and when I went to Papua New Guinea, I got involved in ultrasound as well. So I was just kind of a jack of all trades around the medical laboratory and the testing facility there. And God blessed us in that way. Well, we first moved there into Papua New Guinea, we had a laboratory class. Teaching and mentoring people was always a priority. In Papua New Guinea, when we left after 10 years, we turned the lab and our work over to national laborers and workers. Well, one of the gentlemen that I was in my first class is Bairu. Bairu is shown there this last year. I went to visit Papua New Guinea at Bairu's request. He says, George, will you come? I want you to help me celebrate our 20th wedding anniversary. We've been married 20 years, and also I want you to pray over my new church I built, my new house that I built. I want to dedicate it to the Lord. And I want to organize my small house church, and I want you to be there for all of that. So he was there for when he organized his Cornerstone Church of the Nazarene. Bairu now, he was one of my first students. He's now the health secretary of Papua New Guinea. And he said, George, if it wouldn't have been for you, I might not be a Nazarene today. I probably definitely would not be in the health work. And I would not be married to this wife that I'm married to now. Those are all stories in their own right, but I'm not going to dwell on those. But he wanted me to come, and I was glad that I came for him. Another student that we had in the early days was Jenny. Jenny was in that first class of four students. We had Bairu and Jenny. And the young man that I've got my arm around there, that's the George Miller in the Solomon Islands. I trust that he'll grow up to be very faithful to the Lord. It looks like his family is very faithful. He's working to serve the Lord. And I'm going to be proud of that young man as he grows up. And I want you to pray for him. Bairu started his house, but back to Bairu now, as he started his house church with his own family right there. First Sunday was his own family. The second Sunday, he saw two drunk boys walking down the road, and he invited them to come. And they came, and then the next Sunday, they brought their family, and from there, it just went on to Big House Church. And when I was there, his house church had been going maybe 10 months, and there it is now, a small portion of his house church under his home. 250 people there the Sunday I was there. And after 10 months, he had grown to maybe 100 plus people, and his house was too small. So he says, I think it's time to build a church house here on the land, and we can build a church. And he says, no, let's just build a bigger house. And that is a mind shift change in the Solomon Islands. Because, see, the house was an evangelism tool, actually. When you have a church, there are a certain kind of dress you have to wear. There's a certain amount of people who have asked people to come to church. They say, well, when I do this, I will come. Hey, but when he invites people like the drunk boy, oh, it's just a house church. You can come. It's all right. And so he had 250 people there. And the Sunday I was there, there was 10 or 15 new people that was there that Sunday. And God is blessing his small house church as I was there to organize it. Well, we started our Bible college when I went to Solomon Islands in 1999. We were in Papua New Guinea 10 years. Then during that furlough before home assignment, we call it now, but furlough before I went back to the field between Papua New Guinea and the Solomon Islands, I finished my education. I was working on my course of study for the ministry, but I was not accomplishing much on the field. So I went home and dedicated 1 year to my course of study, to go to SNU and other schools that could finish my course of study. And I was assigned of all people to be the district superintendent of the Solomon Islands. So there's our Bible college. So we tried to start Bible college. It took us a little bit long time, but there we have now our Bible college under our house. We've been holding Bible college classes. Our very first class was in 2002. But we just had one class then, and we really got started in 2005. And the man teaching there is Bruce Alder from the Brisbane Theological College in Australia. We have volunteers come and teach our class. This year we had a graduation. We had four students graduate from our Bible college. The man on the on your, I guess, left side, or maybe right side, I don't know, maybe the same. On your right side is Alec Hoggy, and he's going to be attending the General Assembly this year in Indianapolis. So you'll get to see him. We had the class there this February, and we had our graduation after our Bible college class. We had one woman that has graduated this year, our first woman. There's our female students that are attending our Bible college class. So we've got mostly males. Every class will have about 20 students, but now we've finally got some females in. The one woman on the end, Patricia, I will be sharing her testimony at the end of my message, a very powerful testimony. Actually, Rachel beside her, between the graduate and Patricia, has got a powerful testimony of God's saving grace in her life as well. I won't be sharing that. And then the other lady in the brown is Hilda, a pastor's wife of our White River Church. Remember these. The other lady in the white is from the Assembly of God Church. We have other people from other denominations come and attend our Bible college, and we welcome them in. Our Bible college is kind of open. It's like, I'm from Oklahoma, so forgive my Okie, but y'all come, huh? And so we just have that as our kind of an open door policy, but I think we're going to have to start tightening the ropes a little bit and the entrance requirements. But it's going to have some disadvantages, as you'll hear in my presentation today. But there's Alec Hoggy. He's probably the first Nazarene educator to use the e-reader in a class, at least overseas. And at least at our Bible college, South Pacific Nazarene Theological College, they started in the Solomon Islands. And there's a class that our chancellor had of the students, graduates, that would to teach them how to teach using that, we call it e-reader, that tablet that Nancy shared with you during Sunday school. Nancy was involved in the Zion Christian Academy this year, and we have a good opportunity there to educate our students, as the illiteracy is very high in the Solomon Islands. And two of our high school students are very involved in our ministry, Ezra, and there's Hannah. They each have their own stories. Ezra came from a very poor family. They were heathen family. His daddy, His daddy, Jacob, there, and his mommy, Magdalene. Jacob was raised and born a heathen. His name is Jacob. I don't know what, Cookie was his heathen name. Jacob is his baptized name. He was born from a heathen family. He was married to a Catholic girl. So the Catholic said, to marry this girl, you have to be baptized, you have to take communion and be a part of the Catholic Church. So, okay. So he converted, to Catholicism. But his heart was not converted. His outside, he took a new name, Jacob, and he dressed in Western clothes. But that was as far as the conversion experience really went in his life. He still sacrificed his pigs to the devil. He still worshiped the devil. The Jesus film showed up in their village. And Daddy Jacob went to the Jesus film director. And he says, "Hey, I saw on the Jesus film where Jesus cast out the devil out of people. Does that mean that I don't have to be afraid of the devil anymore? Do I not have to sacrifice my pigs to the devil anymore?" And the director says, "No, Daddy, that Jesus you saw die on the cross, he died to take away that fear from the devil. You don't have to sacrifice another pig of yours to the devil. You can give it to, you can eat it, you can sell it, you can pay school fees with it, whatever you want to do, but you don't have to give another pig to the devil." That was good news, because he had six children and him and his wife was eight. So he had to have eight pigs all the time just as an offering for the devil. Not to eat, not to sell, not to do anything with, but when somebody got sick, he would kill one and burn it to ashes on the altar of Satan, so that Satan might have mercy on him and heal the sickness of that child. Now, we can't get around all that, but that's the culture that he was living in. That's his culture. Well, I'm telling you, when he got saved and got right with the Lord, the whole faith that he put in the devil with that pig sacrifice, he put to God. And we've seen lots of miracles happen in his family. His own son was mute, totally mute. Naked, ran around naked, 12 years old, 13 years old, I don't know. But he was naked from the time he was born all the way up, and he couldn't say a word. We prayed over him, and he got dressed, and he could speak, and miracle. Other healings happened in his family. His wife and other people were sick. He would just pray for them, and they would be healed. Because he had that very childlike, like primitive faith. He just believed what the Bible said. And he had that very primitive faith. And he's illiterate, can't read or write, never learned how to do all that. But so when he heard that Jesus could deliver him from the fear of the devil, he accepted the church. He was converted immediately to the Nazarene church. And not quite to God yet, but at the Nazarene church, he was converted, and he built him a small church, And he sent his daughter to Bible college, which was a big step, because in their culture, women are really put down and looked down upon. But he sent his daughter to Bible college. Why? Because she had a sixth grade education, and she could read a little bit. Not very good, but she could read. She was literate, and she could read the Bible. So he sent her to Bible college. She couldn't do the work. We teach on a diploma level, and she was somewhere below that. She couldn't really do the work. But she learned a few things, and she went back home, and she says, "Daddy, it looks like that you're not going to be able to join the Church of the Nazarene because you smoke and you chew betel nut. Betel nut's a narcotic substance on grows on a palm tree. And in our church, that's not allowed, and so you won't be able to join. Well, 2 weeks later, after she went home from Bible college, she had invited me to come. And so the first visit I came, the church had been operating for maybe almost a year and a half by this time. I went over to their place. He sat me down and says, "Hey, my daughter told me this and this and this. Is that true?" And I said, "Yeah, but you can still come. We don't exclude anybody from coming. You can still be a part. You can still pray with us. You can still worship with us. It's okay. But just that one thing of membership is the only thing." And he said, "Well, I really want to join the church, but I built this church. I really want to join it. But, you know, I've been smoking for 60 years, and I can't quit now." Well, I said, "Let's pray about it." And so we did. And on Sunday morning, I don't have time to tell you this whole story, but a lady was wonderfully saved. And she asked her to give her testimony. She gave her testimony, stood up front and started crying and shared her testimony. It took about 7 minutes to get out a few words. And she said, because she was crying so loud, and she says, "You know me, Jesus forgiven me, and I'd like to ask you to forgive me too." And when she got through, there was not a dry eye, and people started coming to pray at the altar. And I guess I shared a brief sermon that morning. I stood up and looked at Daddy Jacob, and I said, "Would you like to give your cigarettes and your betel nut to Jesus this morning?" He stood up and came down, and he was saved when he stood out. I could tell he was saved. He came walking down the front. I beat him down there, put my arm around him, but he was gloriously saved and delivered that day. The next day I asked him, "Daddy, how is it?" Now, I've never had that habit. Maybe some of you have struggled with that, and I know it's a struggle, but I've never had that habit, so I don't know this. But I asked him the next day, I said, "How is it, Daddy?" And he said, I haven't smoked, but I haven't forgotten about it yet." And 3 days when we got ready to leave, I said, "How is it?" He said, "It's finished." Well, God delivered him. God is still transformed. Because of the transformation of this one man, the radical change. He was a man that would con people. He would fight with people. The radical transformation was remarkable. Everybody was asking around the village, "What happened to this old man? You know, he's changed." And he would get up to testify, and he'd be wiping the tears. And the first thing he would say is, "From the time I was a small child until I'm an old man now, I have never cried. Because I'm from Coyo, and Coyo men don't cry." And all this time, you know. And he says, "But when I think what Jesus done," and he just can't stop the tears. And every time he testifies, it's not long until he starts crying and wiping tears. The transformation of Jesus, huh? Jesus brings a man that's a hardcore man to Well, this is not the church he built, the first church, but that's the church they worship in now. The second church, it's been built a new church, and that's what they worship in now. And pray for that church, and Kualitutu, Church of the Nazarene. There's our pastor at our Zion church, our main church. I'm praying that this man will become our DS. Pray with me, because he's at work, he's in the healthcare work. And he's also a bivocational pastor of our church with his wife there. There's the inside of our Zion Church building. Zion Church started a White River daughter church. And this daughter church was started by Pastor Osborne and his wife, the lady in the brown that was one of our students there. They started this White River church. And Pastor Osborne graduated and will be ordained the next time we can get a general superintendent to visit our country. He should be ordained. And there we are at the baptism. Now, his church was almost 100% children. Him and his wife and one widow lady with her family, they were all children too except for the widow, attended that church and started that church at the White River community. those children, age 14 down to 5 and younger, would go up on the mountain over White River, and every Saturday night they would have prayer for the service the next day. The prayer transformed the community. There used to be people having little stalls selling alcohol, liquor, white lightning, we would say, from our days, but in Solomon Islands we call it quazo. Selling quazo and betel nut and cigarettes, all these little stalls selling this stuff, they were all shut down because of the prayers and the testimony of children. The power of God working through children that are transformed. Now, the man here and his wife, Patricia, one of our Bible college students, James, it was during election time. One of our evangelists went to their area, and James came up to him and says, "Hey, brother, who are you campaigning for?" "I'm campaigning for Jesus." "Oh?" And he started talking to James, told him about our Bible college. And like I said, we have an open door policy, huh? So he wanted to come to Bible college. He came. Him and his father came to Haniara. His father didn't attend the college, but James did. Now here's another cultural story that it's hard for us to get around some of these things that happen with the spirit world and the way they believe. But as soon as they arrived in Haniara, a buddy from their island, a different tribal member of a different tribe than them, but he lived on the same island with them, who was living in Haniara, died. A young man died as soon as they arrived by ship. And so their relatives back home and their tribal members said, "Aha, these two men went to Haniara and they committed witchcraft killing, and they killed this man using witchcraft, black magic." So they done a reprisal and they burnt the houses down. They burned James' house. All the houses are made out of bush material. They're easy constructed and easy burnt up, huh? So they burnt the houses down on the village. Burned them out. So James had all this problem, so he had to leave Bible college after 1 week. But in that 1 week, he came as a sinner. I mean, if you had asked him, "Are you a Christian?" Yes, he would have ticked the box that he's a Christian. But he was a sinner. And he came to Bible college, and after 1 week, he left a transformed man. Next day, Monday, after he went back on Sunday, the ships only travel once a week there to his island on Sunday. So he went back the next Sunday, and his wife called me on Monday and says, "I'd never spoken to her, never seen her before." She called me. We had cell phones by this time. And she called me and says, "George, what did you do to my husband?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I sent on that ship a very violent man, a great drinker, a great smoker, a great betel nut chewer, and he's come back as a lamb. What did you do to my husband?" And I says, "We didn't do anything to him. The power of Jesus." And so she said, "If your church can do that to a man like my husband, can change him like that, I'm going to join you." Well, Patricia's a great pastor. She's got a lot of talent. Oh, there she is. So there's Patricia close up. Well, now at district assembly time. Let me back up. Maybe we'll go back. That's all right. At district assembly time in November last year, it was 1 week before assembly. I was getting ready for assembly. I was busy. I had assembly. And after assembly, I had Bible college classes, two classes. Nancy was going to teach a class. I was going to teach a class. And the phone rang about a week before assembly. And her sister was on the phone and said, "George, Patricia's son just committed suicide." And my heart sank. And then she said, "Would you tell his sister that's living in Haniara, and Patricia's other sister that's in Haniara, and the boy's sister that's there. The news, we're trying to reach them by phone, but we can't get a hold of them. And I said, okay. So I brought them into my office and prayed with them and cried with them and consoled them. And the Holy Spirit came to me and says, George, you need to go. I'm busy. I've got all this stuff piled up. You have to go. See, as people, we're just obedient to the voice of the Lord. And so the Lord worked all the circumstances out. I did go. When I got there, there was, you can imagine the turmoil, the anguish over this family, this father and this mother, as I was sitting there. I got there too late for the funeral. They buried the body already when I arrived. We cried together. We had services. We prayed. I could see the Lord begin to heal that. Well, a man brought this communion tray. And so we had communion and had services. Patricia then says, Uncle George, they call me Uncle George in the Solomon Islands and a lot of other places. But they said, Uncle George, the people, my daughter and her friends and the boy's friends, my son and my other daughter, they're crying out in the grave. The grave's right there beside the house. And you probably heard them cry, but they asked me a question. Uncle George, please tell us, will we see our son again? Or is he dead? Is he going to hell? Will we see him again? Now that's a question that you might have in your mind when something like that happens, but you sure as a preacher don't want anybody to ask you. And I said, I don't know. I said, we have a judge, but that's not me. Jesus died for our sins, but I didn't do that. Jesus said, defeat thief on the cross today, you'll be with me in paradise. It doesn't take long to be saved. I said, we have a judge, and he judges by the heart, not the actions. And so I says, the bottom line is, I don't know. They went to the, James went to the wharf to try to find a ship for me to go back, or a boat for me to go back so I could catch my airplane out of Gizo to go home, to fly home. And he come back and he says, and so I had another service, and when I got through, James was just like this. He's just in tears. And I thought I really said something that I shouldn't have said about the situation that's really made him feel in anguish or worse. And he was like this, just crying. And he looked up and he looked at me and he says, Uncle George, I need to confess something to you right now. I went to look for a boat for you, and they told me that my son did not commit suicide, and they told me who had murdered my son, the name of the boy that murdered my son. And he said, I told Patricia that you stay with the church, preach, do whatever you need, but as soon as Uncle George gets on the boat, I'm going to go kill this boy. And that's what I told him. He told me, confessed that to me, and we prayed. And I want you to know our God is still a God that can bring forgiveness and healing through all that. Then they told me, I never mentioned about assembly. The whole time I was there, I never mentioned about them going to assembly or Bible college, because I knew Patricia was now going to miss two Bible college classes. And it would be tough to make those up because we just do them once every 3 or 4 years. It would be 3 or 4 years down the road before they'd come back again. Oh, she'd miss that. She'd miss assembly. I never mentioned all that. But she told me, she says, George, Uncle George, you know that we won't be coming to assembly because we have to mourn by our culture. We spent all of our money on this grave and feeding our family that came here. We don't have money now to pay the transport to go. I knew all that was true. But you know what? Our God is still a God of miracles. Even though they couldn't come because of the culture, even though they didn't have money to come, they came. Our God is still a miracle-working God. And the healing was complete. And that Sunday, we had the women's ministry was doing the preaching and leading the service. We had the different groups in our district do different services. Sunday morning was women's ministry's time, and they asked Patricia to preach. Now, Patricia, unlike me this morning, probably, you're maybe looking at your watch. I'm even looking at mine now. But you know, unlike me this morning, Patricia, they have two word adjectives to describe her sermons. Short and sharp. And when she gets through preaching, there's not a dry eye, and the elders are lying, and they were lying that Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, she preached again because she drew the straw. She drew the short straw, I guess, to preach on Sunday during her Bible college class. She preached on Sunday morning again. The elders were lying again. I want you to know, the Bible college is one area that's heavily subsidized by your faith promise. Your faith promise pays for the missionaries, but we get $200 a month from World Evangelism to operate our Bible college. Now, we give it in the form of scholarships. Our tuition is not much, but we subsidize it in the form of scholarships. And we want to thank you for your investment in that, to train people like Patricia and the others that we've trained, Osborne, the preacher at White River, and others that we've trained. Thank you so much for your love and your support. And God bless you as we go into the service. And I turn back over to the pastor, and he leads you.
goal this month, this year, is $8,000 for our local church. Whatever you put on here, it's a faith. You may say, I'm giving all I can give. Are you? God knows what you can do. And he knows how you can do it. And you can mark it accordingly. You can mark it so much a week or so much twice a month or so much a month. Or if you don't know, just put down a total for the year. I'm going to pledge $500 for the year. I'm going to pledge $1,000 for the year. I'm going to pledge $100 for the year. And then by God's grace, I'll pay it. And that's just between you and him. You'll never receive a bill from this church. You'll never be dunned. Why do we do this? So that we can see how we're doing on our faith promise pledge. But you will never hear from us. We will never come to you and say, oh, by the way, you pledged X number of dollars. Where is it? This is between you and God and you and God alone. So we're asking you to do this, but we do it just, we want this so that we can see how we did on our pledges and how we can pray for each other as we do this morning. So we're going to pray for this. Then I'm going to have the ushers come. They're going to receive God's tithes, your offerings, your pledge cards, and then something extra. Just put something else in there for our deputation offering this morning that will go to the Millers for their ministries there in the Solomon Islands. This doesn't go to them. It goes to the ministry that they are doing there in the Solomon Islands. So I know that's a lot to ask, but our God's big enough, and he can take care of all of it. So whatever you do, he'll bless you for it. And we'll just ask him to do it. But let's pray for this, because I want you to really reach out by faith. God, what do you want me to do? And then be obedient to his will. Father, this morning we thank you. We saw people like James and Patricia and the others at the beginning, and different ones through the message this morning, that you have gotten a hold of, Lord, and you've given them a touch of your love, of your power. You've changed their lives. You've saved them from sin. You've given them your heart. And now they're reaching others for Christ. Lord, we know that they've become a part of the Church of the Nazarene. And as much as we love the church, we're more ecstatic and excited over the fact that what they've really done is they've given their heart to Christ. We're thankful that they've chosen the Church of the Nazarene to be a part of. But more than anything, they are new names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord God, we get to be a part of that. And I thank you for that today. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to every one of our hearts this morning. I pray, God, that you would help us to know what you want us to do. It is by faith. We will reach out by faith and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but Lord, through you, I know it can be done. So I pray, Lord, this morning right now that you will speak to hearts, and I pray that you would touch lives. And I pray, Lord God, that you would touch them in our giving this morning. I pray that you would use these tithes and these offerings, that you would be blessed and glorified. I pray that you would use the offering for deputation for the Millers, that their ministry might flourish, and they would find that they would reach new people for Christ and the Bible College and all of these things that we're a part of there in the Solomon Islands. And then, Lord, these pledge cards, that, Lord, you would use them to glorify yourself. We praise you today. Lord, we're in worship of giving, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have the ushers come, and we'll receive the tithes and offerings this morning.
Thank you.
I probably should have been a little bit more clear about some of that, because I know you've already turned them in, but not all of these pledges that you're making are going to the Solomon Islands. I hope you knew that. The pledge you're making is going to go to missions around the world and wherever that is needed. So I hope you're not just thinking, oh, well, I'm pledging this just for the Solomon Islands. No, this is for missions in general. And so I hope that that was clear enough. I thought about that when I'm sitting down there. So. And when you give that, make sure you mark that. Mark that as faith promise in these weeks to come and this next year. Mark that as faith promise so that we can make sure that it gets to where it needs to go, and the accountability factor is there as well. Well, back in the back in the foyer, there's a whole table full of stuff from the Solomon Islands. There's one thing that I picked it up. It's about this long. And I said to Nancy, I said, is this a cricket bat? She said, no, that's a club. And so there are weapons back there. Don't use them on each other, okay? If there's somebody you don't like here, pray for them. Don't hit them over the head with a club. But there's a lot of other things back there. Some of that stuff, I don't even know what it is. But you're going to be out there, or somebody's going to be out there, and they'll be able to tell you some of that stuff. But stop back there and look at the stuff. Jacob said to me, is that stuff we get to buy? And I said, no, that's not stuff you get to buy. those are articles from Solomon Islands and the missionary and the missions there. So just do that. Men, don't forget to stop in the sunroom. Brother C.D. wants to meet with all the men for a minute or two. And we're glad that that ministry has taken place. And it's an important ministry, the Family Life Ministries. So men, stop in there. But God bless you today. I believe that we've heard from God. And Sandy, thank you for that song. That was wow. And we praise the Lord for it. Thank you for Pastor Sandy. Well, let's stand together this morning. We're going to be dismissed. And we're going to just go loving the Lord with all of our heart. Thank you. God bless you today. And just have a wonderful week this week. Father, thank you. You have ministered to our hearts today, Holy Spirit. Through song, through singing, through message, through the work of God around the world, reaching out to people, Lord, you have touched us today. And I pray, Lord God, that you would just fill us with your very presence throughout this week. I pray, God, that you would just touch the needs in our lives today, in the hearts of us. That our thinking and our mindset and our heart is to do everything that we can to glorify you. We are not saved by works. We are saved by faith. But may we live. May we show our lives. May we show our faith by how we do live. May others look at us and say there's definitely something different about them than the rest of the world. And I pray, God, that you would use us as a witness for the kingdom of God and as great representatives for this wonderful church called the Church of the Nazarene. Pray, God, that you'd be with the Millers today. Use them, Lord, and the churches that they'll be going to and traveling to. May you use them and their message. And together, Lord, may we just be able to tell the world Jesus saves. We love you this morning. Lord God, use us that you might be blessed, and bless us that you'll be blessed. And we'll thank you and praise you, for we ask it in your holy and precious name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.